Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, we're talking about the most common reasons that athletes don't progress in CrossFit and what you can do about it. So if you have that feeling of maybe I'm just not progressing as fast as I could, I'm training a lot, I'm training really hard, but I don't seem to be getting the stimulus or the return on my effort in gains that I am putting in, and that's really frustrating. So I've been there. And here are some of the things that you can look to see if you are checking these boxes and what you can do instead if you're feeling like you're not progressing as fast as you could. The first one is you may just not be strong enough. So you may be prioritizing conditioning too much. And when you prioritize conditioning too much, that induces something called the concurrent training effect, otherwise known as the interference effect. It is a really well-documented phenomenon in scientific literature. And basically, the more conditioning you do, the more your strength gains are going to level off and eventually even decrease if you do enough conditioning. So that is the first thing, is make sure you're prioritizing your strength enough and not overdoing it on the conditioning to the point that you can't get stronger. Next, never addressing mobility. So I see some athletes who are doing so much conditioning and maybe they're doing some strength work or maybe they're even prioritizing strength, but they're not performing that resistance training through full ranges of motion. And so when it comes to doing pistols or doing single arm dumbbell overhead squats, all the strength training they're doing has minimal transference to the movements that are required in CrossFit. Another example of this would be if you're training the squat in a powerlifting style to just a legal depth rather than ass to grass, because maybe you have some issues with that position, getting in and out of it. And the answer there is to modify the exercise so that you can access the position in a way that stretch strengthens the tissues in such a way that it makes the position something that you can access and something that you can get strong in. So never addressing mobility is another really common one. Finally, we have way too much high intensity conditioning. This is probably the most common. It's related to prioritizing conditioning too much. And eventually what happens is you get buried in central fatigue, years worth of central fatigue, and you end up churning out of the sport. And you may think, well, that's not me. Well, I promise you there is an amount of central fatigue that will cause literally any person to stop. And so do more low intensity conditioning. That is the answer there. Okay, so here's what to do instead. If you're running into number one or two, you want to prioritize strength more, you know that you're not strong enough. One of the ways that you can know you're not strong enough, one is just to look at the squat, bench, deadlift, snatch, clean and jerk numbers of people who are competing at the level that you aspire to, and can you do those loads? So strength is pretty transparent as far as what's required. But you may also be running into 40%+ of your 1RM all the time in workouts. Most CrossFitters are. So strength has been shown to be highly predictive of muscle endurance above 40% of 1RM. What that means is you can improve your muscle endurance above 40% of your 1RM if you just get stronger. And so that might be lower hanging fruit for you to even improve your quote unquote conditioning or your quote unquote muscle endurance, is to just get stronger and lower that percentage of contraction that's required of you. So say your one rep max thruster is 200 pounds. So a 100 pound thruster is 50% of your 1RM. Now, if you take your thruster from 200 to 250, now all of a sudden that 100 pound thruster is a much lower percentage of your 1RM and is going to be easier to make repeatable, fewer waste products, and faster work rates for longer. So that's one of the reasons, or a couple of the reasons, behind prioritizing strength rather than conditioning. Okay, so how do you prioritize strength? Maybe you're hearing that and you're like, I'm not strong enough. I know I'm not strong enough. I know I'm doing too much conditioning. I'm doing too much high intensity. I'm tired all the time. I know I'm not getting stronger as fast as I could. Here's what to do instead. The minimum effective volume for strength and hypertrophy. What is minimum effective volume? It is the minimum amount of training that you need to do in order to see meaningful gains in your squat, bench, and deadlift, and in your muscle mass, strength and hypertrophy, respectively. It is 3 to 6 top sets of 1 to 5 repetitions per week per lift. That's for squat, bench, and deadlift. A working set is over 80% of 1RM at an RPE of 7.5 to 9.5. You're going to squat twice a week, bench 3 times a week, and deadlift once a week. That is your weekly training frequency for the squat, bench, and deadlift. For hypertrophy, you're going to perform 6 to 20 sets per muscle group per week, each set within proximity of failure, and each set is going to be 5 to 30 reps. You're going to do that with full ranges of motion. So this goes back to the Astrograph squat example. This will make sure your strength training has maximum transference to CrossFit, and training at long muscle lengths also happens to be better for hypertrophy. So an Astrograph squat is not only going to transfer to your Olympic lifts better, but it's also going to put your quad in a more lengthened position than a powerlifting style squat or legal depth squat. And that's better for hypertrophy. Bigger muscles have greater strength potential. You're also going to do that with some kind of tempo. So you're going to use any tempo that gives you 2 to 8 seconds per rep. Slowing down is going to allow you to be more sensitive to errors in your movement, little mistakes in your positioning, things like that, and it will produce more hypertrophy. If you rush the reps to the point that they're less than 2 seconds, there seems to be less hypertrophy that results from that, as opposed to doing each rep for 2 to 8 seconds. Typically, this is going to be through slowing down the eccentric or the muscle lengthening portion of the movement. So it'll produce more hypertrophy, it'll make you more sensitive to errors, it'll make your movement better, it'll be better for your skill work. It is just in so many ways better to do full ranges of motion and to use tempo. Okay, so that's how you're going to train for strength and hypertrophy if you want to prioritize it. What are you going to do for your conditioning? Because you don't want to completely lose your conditioning. You want to maintain it so that you can recapitalize once you're strong enough. So you're going to do that along with your maximum compatible volume of conditioning. So maximum compatible volume is the maximum volume of that training priority that you can do without attenuating or slowing down the gains in your top priority. So as soon as you see your gains start to level off or not be as meaningful in your strength or in your hypertrophy, that is a sign that you either need to eat more, you need to sleep more, you need to support yourself more, or you need to dial back the conditioning volume. So here are some best practices for how to do that. Bottom line, the less conditioning you do, the less you attenuate strength gains. So when in doubt, do less. You have two options. You can do low intensity conditioning. This is heart rate zones 1 and 2. This is physiologically sustainable. High intensity conditioning, on the other hand, is intervals, Metcons, time trials, things that CrossFitters are used to doing. If you choose low intensity conditioning, keep the sessions to 45 minutes or less. If you're performing high intensity conditioning, keep the sessions to 10 minutes or less. Whether you choose high or low intensity probably does not matter. I prefer low intensity conditioning because you're going to do a ton of high intensity conditioning when it's time to prepare for competition anyway in the 4, 8, 12 weeks in advance of competition, depending on how many times you compete per year. So you're gonna get lots of high intensity in. So when we're talking about off-season training, when we're talking about making meaningful gains in your strength and possibly your hypertrophy, then I like to prioritize low intensity conditioning. Do your highest priority more frequently, whether it's strength or conditioning. If you stick to the minimum effective volume for strength and hypertrophy, then you will be good to go there. For low intensity conditioning, stick to 3 to 4 times per week. The only exception to this would be if your non-exercise activity, so if your daily step count is really, really low, like if you have some clients who live in Michigan and in the wintertime their step counts are like below 1,000, So they can do some form of low intensity conditioning on the bike or on a machine every single day because their non-exercise activity is so low. On the other hand, for high intensity conditioning, we don't know the exact max dosage yet. No experiments have verified what the max dosage is, that point at which it starts to make strength gains level off, but you can experiment with anywhere from 2 to 6 times per week. Running attenuates strength gains more than cycling. So use a machine for your conditioning. This is going to take all the eccentric loading out of the contractions, which reduces peripheral fatigue, reduces some central fatigue, makes it easier to be physiologically sustainable, and is just going to leave more training currency for your top priority, which in this case is strength. Use a machine for your conditioning. Do your highest priority first in the day, whether it's strength or conditioning. So whatever you are trying to improve the most, that's what you want to be freshest for. I've seen some stuff where people are saying like, oh, well, Peter Attia said, or whoever, PhD scientist said, do zone 2 first, early in the day, because of some molecular mechanism. It's possible. It's possible that that matters. But I think that the priority training principle is a more significant mechanism than any molecular mechanisms that they're pointing out. So I would do your highest priority early in the day. And that has been demonstrated in concurrent training experiments. Also train fed. So when you deplete muscle glycogen, there is a molecular mechanism. It has to do with AMPK, SIRT1, inhibition of the mTOR pathway. And that is not good if you are trying to get stronger. So that's why you keep your low intensity conditioning sessions to 45 minutes or less, because you don't want to get into that muscle glycogen depleted state, which inhibits mTOR. So you want to stay fed. So try to stay away from fasted training first thing in the morning. Separate your sessions by 3 to 6 hours, or do each priority on its own day. So if you can, separate your strength and conditioning sessions, AM and PM, or do them on their own day. The concurrent training effect gets stronger the more advanced you get. So as you get more and more advanced in training age, the more you need to get accurate with your dosages. So if you don't know your step count or know the exact dosage of conditioning that you're doing, or know exactly how many top sets and hypertrophy sets per week that you're doing, that's probably fine when you're a beginner and intermediate. But as you get more advanced, you want to start keeping track of that stuff so that you actually know what your dosages are of each training priority. Finally, remember strength first. The concurrent training effect only works one way, so you want to work with it, not against it. So rather than prioritizing conditioning before you are strong, which is just going to make it really, really hard to get stronger, you want to prioritize strength first and then get conditioned. So that is both the framework for annually that I use for CrossFit competitors and over a career. Unless the individual just has an immense amount of strength talent, and I do have clients like that who just show up with, they're both really genetically set up for strength and they have a high trainability in it. And so they're already exceptional in their competitive group when it comes to strength. And in that case, this approach completely does not apply. But if you're not that person, so if you're not the 1 in 100 to 1 in 1,000 people who have that immense amount of strength talent, then this approach is probably going to work really well for you. So strength is the answer in many cases to lack of progress in CrossFit. Do your minimum effective volume for strength and hypertrophy. Do that with your maximum compatible volume of conditioning. And thanks for listening, guys. If you're listening to the podcast on a podcast platform, please rate and share the podcast with a friend. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. And I will see you guys in the next episode.